Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Everyone, this is Duchess, and it's time once again for Inside Matters Talk. And you have Duchess and your Yahura here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
And once again, I'm glad to have her sharing this platform with me. It should be a fun evening. We have a lot to talk about. Yahura and I want to talk about some personal things that we want to share with people and talk about blessings, thanking our creator. I want to thank my creator for this blessing of Blog Talk Radio every Sunday, the first Sunday and the third Sunday of the month. And this time I want to turn it over to Yahura, find out what she's been doing for the last 2 weeks and how her Thanksgiving was. And then I'll get back and share a little bit of my stuff.
Okay.
Go ahead, Yahura. How was your Thanksgiving?
Duchess, it was great. It was something I've never experienced before. I keep journals, all kind of journals, dream journals, grateful journals, healing journals. People call me and said, you know, somebody's sick, and I write the little down and put the prayer in, and then I find out that they're well, so I, you know, update it. I've been doing that. But this Thanksgiving, what I did was just visualize the different Thanksgivings I've spent in all these years and where I was with the cousins in California, in Richmond, and just sent gratitude and love to them for having me share a dinner with them, the fellowship. The people I went to Hawaii with, just went back and just thanked my creator for the opportunity and the chance to share that fellowship with so many people. And in thinking about my childhood, I remember one Thanksgiving, my mom ordered an ice cream cake that was shaped like a turkey. And we had all these people over. Just the blessings of gratitude. And then thinking about the real Thanksgiving, or a.k.a. the National Day of Mourning for Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That was in my spirit, too. Because on one of the radio stations here, there's a Native American that was on from 9 a.m. to 1, just talking about that, how the indigenous people were displaced, and it just resonated in my heart. But to answer your question, it was great because I was very thankful, and I'm glad I had a chance to just understand where I've come from and how much I have to be thankful for, the giving thanks.
And to just be.
And just to just be. Yeah, just be.
Cool.
By knowing myself. A lot of people may say, well, why would she do that? But as an indigo person, adult, that's what I do. And I know myself, and I'm part of myself, and I have to be myself.
Great.
So what did you do?
Well, before I get to what I did, I want to say to you, when we're off air, you remind me to send you the information I have for the Native American Sweat Lodge and doing the Vision Quest.
Right, that's on my bucket list for 2015, to go to that sweat lodge.
Well, you will remind me to send that to you.
I will, and it's not too far from me either.
It's been sitting on my shelf ever since you first mentioned that to me, and I keep moving papers around in the office, and one of the things that I get ready to move and put away, and then I say, oh, no, can't put that away, because if I put it away when I'm ready to send it to her, I won't be able to find it. You know how that goes.
So did you put Tom in the oven and you had people over?
Well, no, I didn't have people over. I had the blessing of going up to my son's place. He lives up in Winchester, Virginia, and he's a chef. He's an executive chef at a local restaurant, and he does most of the cooking. So he did some kind of brine turkey that he marinated in this brine, whatever, all night. And then my daughter and her youngest daughter came up from North Carolina, and they brought a cousin with them, and we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I enjoy being around my grandchildren, little people. They just seem to love me so much. The older ones have outgrown me,
mm-hmm.
but the little ones, they're like the older ones used to be, and so it's really great. He has a 9-year-old and a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And they're all about grandma, and I love it. It's really a wonderful, wonderful feeling to have them that way.
That's
one of the
blessing.
Things I need to talk about is that I'm not happy about this dark. It's dark now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm one of those SAD people, seasonal attention, whatever people, and I have to do all kinds of things to make myself happy.
But remember, spring is coming. Spring is coming.
And I look
That's
at
my
it,
mantra.
It's amazing. It's amazing that you say that.
Because
when I walk outside my door, it can be freezing out there, and I say, oh, buddy, it's almost spring.
Yes, it's almost spring.
It sure is.
It's almost spring. What, less than 90 days?
Well, I'm not even going to count
days.
You know, less than 90 days. I don't even want to count days. I just want to be in the moment. It's almost spring. Wow, yay, you know?
Yay.
These
yes.
are...
There was a full moon last night.
Tell me about you and the full moon.
Well, since I'm a Cancerian, I'm a moon child, and that affects my emotions, my balance, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see a full moon, I get really excited because I notice that energy coming toward me. Mm-hmm. So I light my candles, I say my prayers, I give thanks. It's just a time to just reflect on who I am and whose I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I love full moons. They
mm-hmm.
are. They're a time for a lot of people when they start getting anxious and carrying on. You know, there's that old saying that people start acting a little nutsy when there's a full moon. If they would bring themselves into the correct perspective, they would not be going crazy when there's a full moon. They'd be
exactly,
taking advantage of that
exactly.
additional energy and blessing that
exactly.
there's a full moon.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
I have a friend. She was very superstitious, and she practiced the African traditions. And what she would do is say, when there's a full moon, you stand there in the light of the full moon and open up your pocket, and you say, fill it up, yay, yay. In other words, fill it up, mother, fill it up, you know,
That's
with
right.
all that positive energy, money, whatever. Just fill it up.
Just fill
you
it
know?
Up.
So
the blessings will be overpouring. Too
absolutely.
Much we can't, too much
take,
that we can't
they
even
always
have.
Want to look at things from a negative perspective. There is nothing negative in creation. It's how we see it and how we perceive it. You know?
That's right.
Nothing is bad or good. It just is. And
it just is. That's right. That's right.
Right. So tell me something. You mentioned a while ago, you mentioned to me about this knee stuff. I'm having problems with these knees.
Oh, okay.
And you were talking about an herbal. You were talking about turmeric.
Turmeric.
I'm sure some of our listeners who have these aches and pains.
Pains,
I
yes.
mean, we're doing a lot of talking before topic, but that's okay.
Yeah, the turmeric. In fact, one of my prayer partners in California turned me on to this. Turmeric, T-U-M-E-R-I-C.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the spice section. I put it on everything, vegetables, meats, applesauce, whatever I can ingest, the turmeric goes there. And it's good for cleaning out your immune system. I was at the pool one day last week, and this lady just got out of the pool, and she was saying how she felt so much better. And I said, I'm glad. I'm really glad that you're feeling better. She said her knees, it's in a lot of pain. So I mentioned to her about the turmeric, and I told her when you're quiet at home somewhere, sit down and actually visualize all the cells in your body being healed. You know they regenerate, I forgot the statistics on that, how often they do, but you get new cells all the time. So just visualize those new cells being regenerated and they're being healed. See the white light in your body, just ask for healing. Place your hand on the part that's hurting and just see it and say, okay, you're going to heal. This pain is going away. There's one thing I used to tell people I did. I had put on some weight, and I, you know, just stand in the mirror. Lord, I thank you for this body. But some of y'all got to go. And I started doing the water aerobics and doing the tap dancing and all of that, and it fell off. But I had to acknowledge it first. Yes, some of y'all have to go.
That's a good thing for me to know because since I started having these issues with my left knee, my right knee is overcompensating for it, so now my right knee is beginning to bother me. And I'm well aware that both of these knees were given to me as a blessing at the same exact time.
Mm-hmm.
Although
mm-hmm.
the left knee, I did something to cause the injury, the right knee is overcompensating. The only thing I have to say about the turmeric is I don't like everything tasting like turmeric. I tried that. I really did try that. And so now what I do is I make myself a fruit smoothie.
Uh-huh.
Like I had one today. I had some, I put some strawberries and I had some blackberries. And usually I buy it fresh,
mm-hmm.
but I stick them in the freezer.
Right.
And I put them in, make a smoothie out of them right out the freezer. Three strawberries, about four blackberries, and maybe half a banana. When my bananas are growing brown, I'll peel them all and stick them in the freezer and use them like that. And then I put a quarter teaspoon of turmeric in my smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it taste decent.
Okay.
I put some honey in there.
Yeah, good.
You know?
Whatever
and
you taste,
I was
you,
able
you know
to drink it.
Good.
I'm able to drink it like that because the turmeric flavor, I don't like all my food tasting like turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, something tastes like turmeric is fine. But before we go on, I got to say a disclaimer because there are a lot of people out there that will say, whoa, well, Duchess and Uhura said use turmeric for my knee and for my aches and my pains, and, oh, it'll just make me feel better. So I have to let everyone know that the information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment, nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. And please, please, please always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. And that's very important because what Uhura does for her body may not work for your body. So we are not authorities on anything except what has worked
for us.
Okay.
That's right. What has worked for us. That's just like with the eczema. People call and say, well, I'm using this and that, and I'll send you this and that. Those things may work for you, but it doesn't work for me all the time.
Right.
So, you know, you have to do what works for you. You know your body.
Right.
When that pain comes in and saying, okay, you've overworked me. I need to be resting. I need to be.
You know, I wanna mention bring something back that you said about the body, the body mind, because you were saying that the cells and everything, you know, you speak to them, and it's very important that we speak to the physical body. I was talking to a listener last night, and I let this gentleman talk on and on and on. I mean, he is like in his 60s, and it was obvious to me, without interrupting him, he feels the way some of us who are in our 60s and moving on ahead, some of us aren't aging gracefully. And some of the things, and just listening to him, I chose not to compare myself out with him because he talked about the pain he felt when he walked, how he's not feeling as sprightly as he used to. And I could have compared out by saying, oh, wow, you know, where I work in a warehouse and my back is hurting and so on and so forth. No, I just listened and I listened. And then it dawned on me, as I'm listening to him, I start sharing with him what was coming through to me. And it's amazing what comes through to me. To me is my higher power coming through me to him. But I am listening to what I'm saying, because what I'm saying to him applies to me as well without me having had applied it yet. Did you understand what I just said?
Say it again.
In other words, when I was talking to him, I started sharing certain things that were coming to me. And it was obvious to me that my creator or my spirit was saying this to him from me, but it was stuff that I needed to heed myself.
Okay, yes.
I was talking to myself while I was talking to him, and it was very obvious that, you know what you're saying to him, you would really want to start doing for yourself, and these were thoughts that I had not had previously. So one of the things that I shared with him was what you said. I told him, I said, you know, we're getting up in age. We get up in the morning and we think we can just jump out of bed, you know, shower, whatever we do, put on our clothes and go for a walk and do our daily duties or whatever. I said, but just like runners and people who walk professionally for them, we got to warm up those muscles before we start making the move.
That's
right. Or we begin to damage them.
Mm-hmm.
So how about doing a couple of little stretches in the morning before you start that? Because this gentleman lives in New York City. He walks everywhere on that hard concrete ground. Do some stretches in the morning to warm up your muscles and your joints before you step out your door to go do your daily chores or you go to your job. I said, and you've got to talk to your body. Most of us, all we do is sit around saying, oh, Lord, my back is killing me, and there go my feet again, and what's up with this knee, and, oh, I got a headache, or this joint, oh, I can't lift my arm. All we do is complain to the body.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We need to start being nice
grateful
to it.
For the body.
Thank you. It's been with you for 60 years
That's
or more.
Right. That's right.
Say thank you for being with me and putting up with me all this long time. You know, we got to start speaking lovingly to our body. And I know that there are some spiritualists out there that call it the body-mind. And it
is
the body-mind.
That is. That's exactly what it is.
Every single cell in our body communicates with everything else in our body, with the blood flow and the heart. It's all a communication system going on in there, whether we realize it or not.
One of the most intricate communication systems.
Absolutely. You tell them, Yahura. Yes, it is. Man could never, ever, ever, how do you say, recreate anything like this mechanism.
No.
No. And when you think about the body, all the cells, they look identical. But how is it that one cell that looks identical to another knows it's a toe cell and the other cell knows it's a nose cell? How does it know this? Because it communicates with each other. Okay, you're going up to the up there. You ain't doing what I'm doing down here.
That's right.
The mind speaks, the body speaks to itself. So it's time for us, especially in this day and time, we're living in a day and time where the manifestation and the creation of our reality is so rapid fire, so speed intense, that it blows the mind. You think it? Well, be careful. You have created it. You bring it to yourself.
That's right.
So, tell me, Yahura, what happened with the 11-minute cardio workout?
I did that yesterday. I'm hearing feedback.
You're hearing
Are you getting
what?
Feedback?
No.
Okay. I tried it yesterday, the chair exercises for 11 minutes.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I did eight of the 11. And I will continue to do eight until I can get to 11 minutes. But it was invigorating. It was very invigorating, and it's something that anybody can do, just sit in the chair and just move it.
Right, I told you. You were so skeptical when I told you that. You said, yeah, 11 minutes, huh? Yeah, okay. I sit down? Yeah, all right. Send it to me.
Well, I appreciate you sending it to me. I will put it in my favorites and do it. Try to do it at least two times a day.
That woman has you going, right?
Mm-hmm. At least two times a day. I'll try to do that.
Oh, I'm just going to do it once a day. That's enough for me. I'll probably do that warm-up and everything in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's my way of talking to my body, saying, okay, get ready. We're getting ready to have to throw some boxes around at UPS tonight. So, come on. Look alert. Feel alert. Wow. Life's great. This is
good.
It is.
It is.
I want to throw a little word out there, give a little shout-out to my son, Abe, the computer guy at Still Point in California. He is my he's my tech support. He is my computer technician. He is phenomenal. And I see that I have my mother online, so I want her to know that everything is good in California. He called while I was in the middle of a conversation talking to my mother, and I had to get off the phone to see because, you know, he rarely ever calls me in the middle of the day. I get off the phone, and I say, hey, what's going on? He says, Ma, I just got an email. 10 minutes ago, you downloaded a virus to your computer.
Oh,
did
no.
you just download something? I don't know. So and then he said, well, I need to check it out. Darned if I'm not watching him move the mouse around my computer in front of my face, and there were two viruses that I had picked up ready to wreak havoc with my computer. So I want to give him a shout-out. That's what his business is. His business is being your tech support from miles and miles away. So
very good.
Thank you very much, son.
Thank you.
Yeah, or we would, and I said to him, I said, how long do I have to wait for you to repair, to fix this? I said, because I got a show tonight. He said, just give me 15 minutes. It'll be done. And I saw him doing his little work. And then I saw when it found the virus. I'm sitting here saying, I don't know whose hairstylist. It was something as simple as something that said hairstylist.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't download that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you heard, we got a topic.
Yes, we do.
We just having fun. We having fun tonight. What you say? We having a good time.
We having a buku fun.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this.
I'm glad.
But I think some people want to know. They
want to
know
okay.
about
let's,
their
let's
purpose in life.
Purpose. Okay.
But I think it's very important for people to know that no matter what age you are, no matter how young or how old you are, there can always be something that you desire to do. And there is a way for you to be able to do that. And as long as you are happy with who you are and what you are, you're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. That's my motto.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard Abraham and Hicks say that too. I think I heard Abraham say that. So I don't want people who are more mature than others to think, well, you know, I've had my life. I've done my purpose. There's no reason for me to still hang out here because the purpose for me is long gone. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We've all had our purposes, and there are many more experiences we can enjoy. So,
and your purposes change.
Hmm?
They change.
Absolutely. They do. And I don't think people are aware of that. Some of the questions that they ask themselves is, why am I here?
You're here.
What do I want?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've read in many instances that we came here with certain gifts and talents and abilities which the world has a great need for, and it doesn't matter how old we get. So what Yahuwah and I want to do tonight is we want to touch on two types of purposes. And the first one we want to talk about is our personal growth mission. Okay? There are personal lessons. There are personal lessons that we came here for, like, say, what is it? Learning to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having to think here. We have these are soul growth missions. Learning forgiveness, how to forgive. There are some people that hold a grudge until the day they die.
They never forgive.
That personal growth purpose, to learn how to forgive.
To forgive. Forgiveness. Learning how to be content.
Mm-hmm.
Learning
tolerance.
How to be tolerance. Learning how to be happy. But a lot of people think that, oh, if this man would come into my life, I'll be so happy. No, you are responsible for your own happiness or unhappiness.
Absolutely. And there's acceptance. Like they say in the 12-step programs, learn to accept the things you cannot change.
The serenity prayer.
Change the things you can.
Yes.
And there's much wisdom in knowing the difference. So those are what are considered, these are personal lessons for us to learn in this lifetime to aid our soul's overall growth. Now, if you believe in reincarnation, those persons who go to their graves not learning their lessons of forgiveness and they go to that grave bitter, 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 well, reincarnation is say, well, you just have to come back and try that all over again. Until you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I had an instance where I was a counselor and there was this young girl and she wanted to threaten suicide. And I sat her down one day and I had to share with her from my belief system. That if you do this to yourself, there'll be a whole lot of us who will miss you because we love you and we don't want to see you do this. But after a while, you'll become a fond memory of ours. Now, from where you stand, if you do this at age 16, what'll happen is Betty Lou, which is your name now, will have to come back as a Mary Jane, and when Mary Jane reaches 16, she'll be right at the point that you're at right now thinking of doing this. And it'll happen over and over again from Betty Lou to Mary Jane. You'll come back as Susie Q, and you reach age 16, and you won't have to come back again at this point if you transition and go through this point in your life and just don't do this time. So how about right now, this minute, you don't commit suicide, so you don't have to come back again as Susie Q.
Mm-hmm.
And go through all of this mess again because you didn't learn the lesson of how to get through it this time. We're going to help you get through it this time so you don't have to go through this again, ever again. You know, so there are many ways that people don't understand that they have personal lessons in this lifetime to aid our soul's overall growth. And everyone has a personal growth mission. That's something that they came here to learn. However, there are many of us out here who also have the global missions. Now, not everyone may choose or have a global mission to complete or to fulfill. So in addition to a personal growth mission, a global mission means we came here to be of service. That's been my challenge all my life because every time I turn around, I'm being of service to people. And for the longest time, I used to say, why me? Why do I always have to do this? Well, you know, My mother said to me one day, why not you?
Exactly.
It's your purpose in life. People are drawn to you for that particular reason. And it is to help people. Or it could be your global mission to do something to help animals or the environment. So others will probably not understand your drive and desire to help others. And this usually happens because they are only on earth for their personal growth. They don't understand the global mission, people. It's like, what is she off doing now? When does she get tired? Or they have not hit with a spiritual desire for a global mission yet. Our global mission may or may not become our paid career. So a lot of people are saying, well, what does that mean? To focus purely on remembering our global mission, we let go of any thoughts about money, career, or income. We will deal with those things another time because usually what happens, your global mission is something that you desire and want to do and you have a passion for, and you would love doing this if there was no pay. And a lot of times your global mission will bring you the best of incomes because this is something that you would do if you didn't get paid. That's how much you would love it. That's how much you would, you know, you thrive to do this. But the global mission focuses purely on your desire to provide service and to help the world. Okay, Yahura, we're ready for our questions.
Yes, yes. Come on with the questions. Get your paper and pencil so you can write these down and get your
okay,
answers.
Okay, everybody
write your
get a pencil, paper, piece of paper and pencil. Get your paper. We're going to ask you some questions and see if you can find out or see if we can guide you to your global mission. I mean, some of us know what our personal missions are. You walk around angry, your personal mission is to find some peace. You're walking around, you know, like bitter about something. Your personal mission is to find some forgiveness and learn how to turn that stuff over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're walking around hating a person because they are the way they are, you know, they say point one finger at that person and three fingers on your hand are pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of
four
people
fingers.
Just don't want to work with their personal growth missions. But let's talk about the global.
Okay, I'm ready.
One of the things that you can ask yourself when looking for your global mission is, what did you want to be when you were a child? And it doesn't matter how old you are. What was the thing that you desired to be or do when you were a child? My answer to that is wild.
We're listening.
Huh?
We're listening.
Oh, y'all want my answer? No,
uh-huh.
Let's pull the questions first. The second one. Who do you envy or admire? You know, it's somebody or something that you just say, I wish I could do that. Or you admire somebody that's able to do something like that because you'd like to do that too. Or three, what activities do you most enjoy? I laugh because I don't mind. if you won the lottery, here's a biggie, woo-woo. Lady in Washington State just won $90 million. And
wow.
All she did was on Thanksgiving Day, go to the convenience store. She needed some some pumpkin pie spice and a newspaper. Picked up a lottery ticket, went home. A week later, she's $90 million richer. I should be so rich. So, if you won the lottery, how would you spend the rest of your life? That's after taking a well-deserved vacation or whatever. We're talking, how would you spend the rest of your life? If you didn't have to work anymore, I guess. Five, complete the following question. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Question. I help my friends get through by doing the following activities. How do you help your friends get through? whatever it is they're going through. Number six, what social issue bothers you, such as children, you know, things that go on with children, the environment, educational issues, government issues, health issues, which most interests you or most upsets you because of the wrongdoing you see? And seven, what messages or topics would you most like to teach others? Now, once you get the answers to your questions, if you look at a common thread between your responses, you're well on your way to finding your global mission. You heard I'm losing my voice.
Oh, no. Okay.
That's what I say. Oh, no.
What do you want to be when you were a child? When I was a child, I wanted to be on the Jackie Gleason show as a tap dancer.
Wow.
That did not happen. However, I did start dancing. I started liturgical dance. I still tap dance every now and then. So even though I didn't get on the New York stage, I had different stages.
Right.
Where I was needed.
Okay.
Who do I don't envy anyone. I admire Cicely Tyson. I admire Gwendolyn Brooks. Who else? Rosalind Cass.
For
pardon?
Just who they are or something specific that they have done?
Their accomplishments, especially Cicely's, and Gwendolyn Brooks was a poet.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosalind Cash, an actress. And, of course, Stevelyn Morris, Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
I just really admire him.
Yeah, he's to be admired.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. And if you won the lottery, what activities do you most enjoy?
Reading. Dancing, traveling, and helping others by an encouraging word, any kind of support I can give.
And if you won that lottery, how would you spend the rest of your life after taking that well-deserved vacation and getting
living
that car that you want?
Living in Abu Dhabi.
And where? Abu Dhabi?
Abu Dhabi. Over
and
in
where is this located?
The Mediterranean, over on the other side of the world. I was watching that show last night about wealth. They don't pay taxes over there, and it's beautiful. It doesn't
you just take
smell.
Take all your money and go over there, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I'm definitely not an exotic bug lover, so it's like, you know, woo-woo, I don't even want to go to Florida. Okay.
Florida?
I said, I'm not an exotic bug lover. I don't even want to go to Florida because they got they call them giant cockroaches that fly. I don't want to visit there.
Oh, okay.
I have a friend that just moved there. I said, well, honey, yeah. She said she didn't know they were there until she got there. I said, well, I know they're there.
Oh, my
goodness. I don't know if I'll be visiting you. Now, complete the following question. How do you help your friends get through? You know, by doing the following activities.
Listening, number one, and writing. I do have a friend that's having problems with her mom, medical problems, the people not doing what they're supposed to do. So I help by writing letters, and then we get results.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Positive reinforcement, that's what I call it.
Mm-hmm. And? The last one? No, that's not the last one.
Social issues?
Yes.
I don't want my pressure going up just thinking about everything that's going on. The government, the health issues, just all of it. Every last bit of it. The children.
So anyone in particular you would work with or for or against?
Probably the... Start at the top, the government.
Mm-hmm.
I think of those people up on Congressional Hill, Congress, as bullies. We have a right to health, good health.
Right.
We're the only country, other countries, people are off for a year when they have a baby. You go to other countries, at 2 o'clock everything shuts down for siesta. They realize when once you have your lunch, your body's going to slow down. So
right.
You take your little nap, you take your little siesta, everything opens up at 4, and then you continue working.
But, you know, I'm a devil's advocate. You do know that there are a lot of people who just feel like their one vote doesn't count, but they don't look at the fact that if we're all voting, it's got to count. You know, it got people think that they're only supposed to vote for the president. They don't think they're supposed to vote for the senators when it's time for their senators electing for their states, you know, that your president need help. They don't think in terms of when it's time to elect the sheriff for your county, that that sheriff for your county is the person that you elect because that sheriff is in line and in tune with the things that's going on or with the police department and the sheriff department in your county. They don't think about getting out and voting for those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can start way at the top if we want to. But sometimes it may behoove us to start a little bit closer to home to make some changes there. Because while we got our eye on the top, there's a whole lot of stuff that need our vote and input at the bottom. And we can't wait until something happens. That's when we're going to give our input. We should have given that input when we could have pressed that button, not to hire that man or that particular energy for that particular office around the corner in our neighborhood. And people don't see that. People don't, that doesn't register, you know, with us until we have an issue.
Because they don't read.
To our heart, like health issues. You know, the government has, you know, we got the Affordable Care Act, but then people don't get out and vote for the governor in their state who will accept the Affordable Care Act coming into their state, or their mayor won't accept it. In you know, you got to look sometimes a little bit closer to home. We want the government to fix this, but we got to look at what's right next door, also. So a lot of stuff. I think if I start going through the things in my space and what I would like and what my global mission is, I've always been an advocate. I've always been an advocate for the people. I've always been an educator of the people so that I can help them see things slightly differently.
Okay. So who do you admire?
I never really pick one person in particular to admire. You know, because I'm the type of person, as long as you're doing good, then I'm going to walk by your side and I'm going to do it along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to know that from the time I was a teenager, I did marches on Washington for food stamp implementation. I was watching marches when Martin Luther King Jr. was doing the marches. I was a teenager. I admired the Black Panthers because I grew up in Harlem because people were talking about the Black Panthers. They were horrible. They were, you know, ruling the communities, and they were a bad influence, and they were violent. All I knew was that Black Panthers fed Black children because they were the first ones that started the feeding programs for their communities. I admired Minister Farrakhan and Malcolm X because I grew up right there where Malcolm Shabazz Mosque is on 116th Street. I grew up in Harlem. So when people watch the movie Malcolm X with Denzel Washington and they march on the police station, I was there living at that time when all of that was happening. So I look at the advocates for the communities. I've always admired them. I've always admired people who fought for the rights of the disenfranchised. That's who I admired. So I can't say any one in particular. And when I was a child, what did I want when I was a child? I said something that was really dumb back then, and people looked at me like, my friends looked at me like, are you crazy? I said, I wanted to have as many children that God would let me have.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I have grown up. One time I was at a retreat about 10 years ago, and there was someone who was who was channeling an entity named Tigere. I remember this. And everyone wanted to have a reading by this energy that was coming through this woman. It was really wild because this woman didn't even drink. She wasn't a drinker and she didn't smoke. But when this energy took hold, she smoked cigars and she drank straight up scotch. Well, when this energy and this woman, like, that's, you know, Abraham and Hicks, everybody wanted a reading, and they would sit down and give them their reading. They come up. But when this energy looked at me, he got up, walked over to me, took my hand, and put me in his seat. And he said to me, I'll never forget, he said, sister, there is really nothing that I can tell you. So I know you did not come to me for a question to be answered. He said, and then she touched my stomach. It was really freaky. And he said, oh, my, I see you have given birth many, 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 many times, and none of these are your personal babies. You know, and that reflected in my brain. It has always reflected in my brain that when I was a kid, I wanted to have as many children as God would give me. And so that's where I find myself. I educate the children. And I love working with teenagers. And I love showing them how they are Neo, how they are the one. I teach them their indigo power. And I love working with them because I'm going to tell you, they need somebody to advocate for them because they don't know where they come from and how powerful they are. They don't realize that. The young people today, they're our future, and we need to work with them. You know, we need to work with them real fast. So that was me, and that's what I would do. If I won the lottery, I would set up a spiritual retreat facility. And I would work with incorrigible youth, the youth that are the troublemakers, because that's our future. And they have the power. They just don't know how
to
use it.
Don't know how to use it, yeah. You know? Very good.
What messages or topics would you most like to teach others? Well, I've already expressed mine. You want to express yours?
Yeah, some of them I've already done. Teaching children that you are a star, that the power lies within you, and you learn how to express that power and exert that power.
Right.
And
we have a caller online. I'm going to open up the line. It's a strange number, so I don't know. I've never seen a number like this before. But we're going to open it up, and hopefully it's a good line. Okay?
Right, and not a spoof.
Yeah, not somebody just wants to harass us, huh?
Right.
Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Could you tell us where you're calling from and your name?
I'm calling from New York. And my name is Mr. Cassin.
How are you doing today, Mr. Cassin?
Fine, thank you.
How can we help this evening?
Pardon me?
How can we help you?
Oh, well, I didn't speak up in time when y'all was talking about who you admire the most. Mm-hmm. And I was gonna make a comment that you said already in terms of Malcolm X, Farrakhan, and the Panthers, people that helped the disenfranchised community.
Right.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Well, bless your heart.
So,
well, we know that you're on your mission, huh?
Yeah.
I hear you.
So well, I just wanted to say that, but you said it, so that's why I remained silent.
Okay.
Right. Y'all can carry on.
Thank you so much for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
That was great.
That was good. And we forgot about Marion Barry. We had a great celebration of his life yesterday, well, for 3 days here in the District of Columbia.
That's
true. He did a lot. A lot of people had summer jobs. I remember him helping my parents. And he lived his life.
He was on his global mission.
That's what I'm saying?
That's
the global, right.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely on his global mission. So, once again, our global mission is always an activity that we are already interested or passionate about, and it always involves an activity for the benefit of others.
A service. You're being a servant.
Right.
For others.
Yes. Service, giving service to others.
To others, right.
So if you are still unsure about your mission, it may mean that you have to first reawaken your spirituality. Reawaken it. Now, once again, we don't, on Inside Matters.
Talk.
When we say Inside Matters, talk. when we say spirituality, we're not talking about religion. Inside Matters talk is about spirituality. And religion is an institution established by man for various reasons. Now, when we talk about spirituality is born in a person and develops in that person. Okay? So your spirituality came here with you.
Along with your cells and your nerves and your...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you already know, your genes are already clocked in with what your purpose is. Like we talked earlier, you have the body-mind. The mind, your body, is already in tune with who you are, where you are, where you're going, what you're supposed to do. But you have to reawaken that, and a lot of times we just stay sleeping to that. Excuse me, I have to clear my throat. So it's time for you to start listening. You need to listen to it. And you need to trust in your intuition in order to be led by it successfully. Okay? You get feelings and messages about your purpose and your passion, and it often comes as a gnawing thought, something that's just gnawing at you. Or a reminder of what sparks your interest and what is important to you. These are gnawing reminders and things. A lot of people, they don't believe in the art, and it's an art of meditation. Now, when we medicate, I always do that.
Meditate.
I always say medicate. I always say, but when we meditate, because you got to stay away from medicating yourself, all right?
Exactly.
When I say medicating, I mean taking, you know, drugs to keep your brain all medicated and dragging out. When you meditate, you enter the void. I like Deepak Chopra talks about the void. You enter the field of all possibilities, and that's where your soul lies. That's where your spirit is, in the quiet of your mind, away from the ego's chatter. And once you can learn that art of sitting somewhere for 15 minutes, or if you're in prayer. Now remember, when you're in prayer, you're talking to your higher power. You're talking to your creator. Prayer is talking, But after you say that prayer, you sit there for another 15 minutes and listen to what your Creator has to say back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You just get up and go for a walk. Oh, I said my prayers for the day. But you didn't give your Creator time to talk, to communicate back. That's meditation. When you meditate, you're listening. You're receiving the information from your higher self, from your higher source. And not enough people listen. They're so busy going, doing, and they may just be going, doing, and not even once have they hit their purpose in life. Because they're too busy doing and going that they haven't stopped to listen. Will you laugh at that?
You're right. A lot of people are just afraid to be.
Right.
They're just afraid to be quiet, to be still, to cut everything off, to cut off the cell phones, the TVs, just be in complete quiet.
You can do it 5 minutes a day. Start out with 5 minutes.
I was
going to
say that.
Five minutes.
Start off. No phones, just complete quiet.
I think that is so cool.
Pardon?
And if you do have a cell, did I cut you off just now?
Go ahead.
And if you do have a cell phone and you can't bear to turn it off, then put it on vibrate and put it on timer and put the timer on for 5 minutes.
Great.
And let it vibrate you back to, you do that every day for 5 minutes, you good, you golden. You done entered the field of pure potentiality, and your higher self will be able to communicate with you, quick flash. And you know what else is the beautiful part about that? You'll be walking down the street, looking and observing at things around you, and your HP will send you a message in that void, and it'll hit you just like that. It'll be like, whoa, I was looking for the answer to that question. Wow, where'd that come from?
It came from
the field of pure potentiality. Mm-hmm. And now you're noticing it because you give it your attention for 5 minutes a day. It's cool.
And life then next magical. Year, they'll be doing it 10 minutes a day.
Absolutely.
And then by spring, 15 minutes a day.
Absolutely. And you're really golden if you can do it 30 minutes twice a day.
Oh, yeah.
You're sailing. You're almost walking on air when you walk out your
That's
door.
That's right.
Woo!
That is right.
Yeah. This has been really, 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 really good. I don't know if we have to, well, we can keep talking, but I really believe that we've shared a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm. I just want to interject here. When you know yourself, your models, you have your own models of reality, your deepest beliefs about yourself and the world, not dependent on anybody else, you. Your system of living, you know, your habits and your everyday actions. Like Duchess said, you get up in the morning, when your feet hit that floor, you start stretching and honoring that you were in a deep sleep last night, and you're now in your body and you're awakened. You were safely kept last night. Then start moving around and do whatever you do, brush your teeth, wash your face, all of that. And then take that time. Like she said, for 5 minutes. Use that cell phone to set the timer for 5 minutes. Cut everything else off. And you say your prayers, and then you wait that 5 minutes and receive what your Creator has for you for that day. Before you leave out the house, you look at yourself, make sure you're looking okay, make sure your slip not hanging, put your lipstick on. Kiss
but we
yourself.
Got some guys out
Hug
there
yourself.
Too now, Yuhura.
Pardon?
We got some men out there too.
Okay, well they can kiss themselves. Hug yourself.
Right.
And then going out for that day. Enjoy this beautiful day that you've never seen before.
That's the truth.
Yesterday in the D.C. area, it was pouring down rain. I call that liquid sunshine. Because today, what did we have? The sunshine.
Yeah, we got to create our own reality.
Liquid sunshine, that's what I call it.
We got to see what makes you happy. What brings you true joy? What brings you true joy?
That's right.
Make a list of it. If nothing else, sit down every single day and write 5 things you are grateful for. And I'm going to tell you, with me, I have some stuff going on with my knees. That's going to be the top of my list. I am so grateful for these knees.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a time when I had to write 5 things I was grateful for. I had to write down, I was grateful because I found me a clean bra, because I hadn't had any money at all to take my clothes to the laundromat, and I found me something clean to wear, an undergarment that was clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that down. I was grateful. Be grateful. You don't have to be grateful. You can be grateful for the the everyday common things like a breath of fresh air. But you can also be grateful. Be grateful.
For the little things.
Absolutely. Be grateful for the little things. So, what excites you? Be grateful for what excites you. Write that down. Write down, I'm excited about going to the store today and seeing the man around the corner. Be grateful. You find something to be grateful. I have drivers that come in complaining. I mean, I had one, it was snowing, talking about, I had to get up this morning at 5 o'clock. I had to shovel 6-foot driveway, you know, to get the snow before. I said, you know what? You're so blessed you got a driveway. Didn't you think about that driveway before you bought that house, that you were going to have to get up and shovel that before you, you know? I mean, people find so many things to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
Don't complain about nothing. Be grateful that you're able to breathe and complain. Well, I don't know how grateful you want to be about that.
Right. That's
you
sounds like
right.
An oxymoron.
You get carried away.
You don't want to complain. You don't want to complain at all. When those thoughts come into your mind about, oh, I don't have, no, I do have this. Take
Absolutely.
The don't, get rid of that. I do have this.
That's
I do
right.
have life.
Absolutely. There's something you do have when the thought pops up in your head about what you don't have. Then think about what you do have, and guess what? Eventually, you're going to get more, as long as you're thinking about what you do have and how grateful you are with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're running along here.
Yeah.
Before I get to the reading tonight, I'm going to do a reading out of Thoughts from the Universe. They're notes from the universe, new perspectives from an old friend. And the author of this book is Mike Dooley. He was featured on The Secret. But before we throw some energy out that way and see what the universe wants to say, I want to share a quote from one of my favorite books. I've always liked the book Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Scovel.
I have that book.
That was my first spiritual book, you know.
Mine too, when I was in San Francisco.
And my son in California, who is now, how old is he? He's now 37. That was his first spiritual book. Book
mm-hmm.
blew his mind. He was a teenager, 16 years, blew his mind when the book worked. So anybody out there, I'm telling you, Game of Life, How to Play It, Florence Scovel, the book
mm-hmm.
never gets old.
No,
but
it
doesn't.
But
the other one, which is a little bit more lengthy, it's called Life's a Game, and These Are the Rules. Let me share these.
That's by her, too. She did 3.
This one is by somebody named Cherie Scott Carter Scott.
Okay.
This one is If Life's a Game, These Are the Rules. But my favorite is The Game of Life, How to Play It. That's nice, easy, short, to the point. But I'm going to give you the 10 rules out of this other woman's book. These are the 10 rules for being human. 1, you will receive a body. 2, you will be presented with lessons.
Yes, I know that. Okay.
3, there are no mistakes, only lessons. 4, lessons are repeated until learned. Remember this very clearly. Those lessons will be repeated until you've learned. Learning does not end. That's number 5. Number 6, there is no better than here. 7, others are only mirrors of you. So if you don't like a person, they're a reflection of who you are. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, then you have some more spiritual growth to do. 8, what you make of your life is up to you. 9, all the answers lie inside of you. Then you go back to your meditation. They're in there. And 10, you will forget all of this at birth. That's why we have shows like Inside Matters Talk, because we were born and we just forgot everything that we came over here already knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you ready, Yahura, for us to throw out some energy onto the universe and ask for our thought for the week?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those things that you just read, I've had those before. I've saw them before. That's why I was like, oh, yes, 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 because at the end, you forget and start all over again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we ready for me to open up this book at any spot and see what the universe has to say? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me when.
Now.
Okay, got it. Ooh, this is a long one. Glad we got enough time. It says, yo, this is the universe, and have I got great news. I've just finished distributing the Powerball earnings and have lots and lots of time and energy and abundance left over. You wouldn't even believe how much if I told you. Here's what I'm thinking. How would you like more money, more time, and more friends? Yes. Well, that's exactly what I've been working on. Now, here's what you can do. At some point today or during the week, take out a pen and paper or use your computer if you like and write a letter to someone who lives far away, someone you love and respect, and share the news with them. I want you to write this letter as if these dreams of yours have already transpired, and I want you to tell them the whole enchilada. Write down every detail. Share with them your astonishment, the ramifications, and describe your happiness so that they and I can feel your emotions. Then save the letter for when you really need it. Hokey? Absolutely. A powerful act of thought and faith that will affect the course of your life. Yes, 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 yes. The longer the letter, the greater the details, the more powerful the effect.
Mm-hmm.
Your humble servant, the universe. Okay, everybody out there, get your pen and your paper, start writing your letter. start writing your letter to whoever that person long way away is, put it in the envelope, put their address on it, and stow it in the drawer, okay, until you're ready to use it. That's cool. I know I'm going to do my letter.
Uh-huh. I can't wait to start mine.
Right.
What page was that on?
What, in the book?
In the book. Uh-huh.
This is page 100.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
And 101. It was
okay.
A two-pager.
Okay.
Notes from the Universe. Okay?
Okay.
Well, everybody, that's it for tonight. In a couple of weeks, we'll be here. It'll be time for the holiday season for many. Our next meet is on the 21st, Sunday the 21st. And I guess that's a good time for us to review religion versus spirituality.
Yes, perfect.
And have a good time with that, because we always do. And it's something that people appreciate, understanding the difference from other perspectives and why religion and spirituality are different, because you can be spiritual without being religious. You know, there are a whole lot of people who are religious, but they're not spiritual. They walk out of it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We will talk about that. Yohura, I am so happy to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So, good night, everyone, and thank you, all of you out there who call in and listen to us. We enjoy having you, and I love seeing the board all lit up. It's a beautiful thing.
Namaste.
Namaste. Be sweet, be blessed, and for those of you, assalamu alaikum. Whoa. Outro. The